Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, September 10th. I'm Ray Graff. Say, does your Wankel rotary engine need a little adjustment? Maybe you got a fuel-injected slant 6. Whatever you do, it's fine with me. No judgments. We'll talk car maintenance and repair today with Gordon Fricke. Gordon is the owner and operator of Barber & Fricke Automotive Incorporated in Hoosick Falls, New York already. If you have a car question, now's your chance. It gets very busy as the show rolls on. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Couple paragraphs, I don't need a manifesto, a brief description of the problem, or 800-348-2551. Gordon Fricke and your car calls coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. On the program today to answer your automotive maintenance and repair questions is Gordon Fricke, owner and operator of Barber & Fricke Automotive in Hoosick Falls, New York. It is an independent repair and towing and used car facility. Gordon has been in the automotive repair and service industry for more than 30 years. Sorry, Gordon. If you have a question for him, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Garden, Gordon, whatever your name is, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ray. Great to be here. Hey, this could be a gardening show, right?
Well, we do the gardening shows.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, you can come on that show
if you
want. I don't
think I'll be very helpful on that one.
No? Okay. Well, listen, you sent me a cool picture. It must have been very near to when you were arriving, or maybe you were in the parking lot, and it was this really cool, looked like almost a brand new vintage Volkswagen bus, which is something you're a big fan of.
Yeah. I was on the highway, and from a distance, I saw this vehicle ahead of me. I said, wow, that is a really early Volkswagen bus. So I got closer, and it still appeared to be a Volkswagen bus. I got really close. I said, the taillights are really wrong, but maybe somebody spruced it up with LED lights.
Yeah.
So I followed it off of the highway, and then I could tell it was being pulled by a car.
I said,
somebody took a Volkswagen bus, chopped it up, made a camper out of it, and threw some big LED lights in it to make it more modern. So I followed them around. This was in Bennington, in Vermont. This was a week or so ago.
Yeah.
And I got into a situation where there's two lanes of traffic. I said, I got to stop these people before they get on the next road. So I pulled next to them, rolled down the window, and there was a husband and wife, and she looked at me like, no, what did I do? I said, no. I said, can you pull over? I want to see this camper. Oh, she said, we thought you were mad at us for not getting in the right lane. So anyway, we pulled off the side of the road, and I was talking to the couple, and they're from the area. They're from the Albany area, and it is a totally fiberglass camper made by a company in Oregon that is made to resemble a Volkswagen bus.
Can they be sued for this?
I don't think so, because it doesn't say Volkswagen on it, and it's not to scale. It just looks a lot like it.
Amazing. I'm not telling you what to do, but you tell somebody to pull over, you might be asking for trouble.
Well, no, they knew I was okay. I was smiling, and I said, I love this camper. Can you pull over? I want to take a picture of it. And I said I would send the picture to the radio. I told them I did a little radio show in Albany, and they knew the station. They listened to it. They're from the area. And I said, we'll talk about it for a minute or two at the beginning of the show, and I would send you the pictures of it. So I don't know if they're listening or
not. That's cool. Well, if you're listening and it's your thing, give us an email at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, and we'll forward it over to Gordon Fricke, who is our guest today. It's automotive maintenance and repair on the show. All fiberglass, I mean, is that safe?
Well, so it's a camper, so nobody's riding in it on the highway,
right?
And that makes it really light. They were pulling it behind a Volkswagen Golf sport wagon, an all-wheel drive, or maybe it was either an all-track or a sport wagon, but it was a car, and They said they knew it was behind them, but it wasn't a severe load.
Uh-huh. When you're driving one of those things, and believe me, this is one of my dreams, to have either a full-on Winnebago type thing that you drive, or to have a trailer like this where you can get in and,
right,
and stay a couple days wherever you are. When you're driving something like that, do you have to do anything special aside from take it easy on turns?
You need to be aware that it's back there. And
yeah,
and depending on how heavy your vehicle is that you're pulling with, it'll kind of affect you. It'll wag the tail of your vehicle a little bit because,
yeah,
of the tongue, you know, the front of the trailer that's connected to you. And this is so light that I'm certain there were no brakes in it. But, you know, larger campers, they have their own brakes that come on to help you stop. But, of course, turning, you have to be careful because now you've got another, I don't know, what, 15 feet behind you or 20 feet behind you.
I would think that something that very light might be tougher to turn.
I think the turning is okay. You just want to not turn too sharp and be careful you're not cutting your corners because you got a trailer following you.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. All right, Gordon Fricke is our guest today. The number is 800-348-2551. We will start with a couple of emails at voxpop@wamc.org. This one came in a while back from Dee in Mountainville. I'd like your advice about my 2017 Mini Cooper. My mechanic found a white residue on the water pump and told me it could be failing. Because of the expense, I opted for a wait-and-see approach. Will simply monitoring the coolant level let me know when a failure is imminent? And on a completely different note, do you think VW is going to survive? And so that's from D in Mountainville.
Well, we went from Mini Cooper to Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Well, so the Mini Cooper, the stain on the water pump is super common on every vehicle made. The water pump has a little relief hole called a weep hole because a tiny bit of coolant gets past the seal of the water pump under normal operation.
Mm-hmm.
Has to go somewhere, so they just let it drool out of there. And the European coolants are phosphate-free, and they have different additives in them, so they definitely dry a very white, chalky stain.
Uh-huh.
And also the color of the coolant. In the case of the Mini Cooper, that was blue, so it would be a bluish-whiter stain. The factory standpoint is this. If it is not dripping or actively leaking, just damp or stain, do
yeah.
nothing.
Okay.
If it becomes a leak that is a sustainable leak, drip, 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 or even worse, a puddle on your floor, then it's time.
Okay.
Yeah.
This one is from, and by the way, VW.
Oh, well, yeah, they're going to survive. They've been through.
This is the electric car thing with China?
Yeah. So they're struggling with EV sales like every legacy automaker is right now, even the non-legacy EV makers, which would be Tesla, sales are way down because the early adopters have done their adopting, and the new purchasers are slow to get on board, and it's not just the U.S. It's a lot of European countries, Germany very much so, not taking EVs on very briskly.
Mm.
Yeah, Volkswagen is massive. It's a massive company. I think they've got nine divisions, and they sell trucks, and they sell insurance. They're not going to.
So I was driving home from work the other day, and speaking of electric vehicles, I saw one of these new Tesla, whatever they're called.
The Cybertruck?
Yes, the Ayn Rand edition. And so where are the headlights? It's a metal thing in front of the car. How do you see at night?
I think they're just LEDs. LEDs are so powerful that you can just bring them through little slits. That's what I think they are. But, I mean, is that really what you would term a truck? I mean, not really.
I don't know. I don't even know what to call it.
It's a very strange vehicle.
I bet it's so much fun to drive, and I bet it's so cool inside. If you're listening, Musk, old pal, I'm not disparaging it. It just looks a little odd to me. I just have to get used to it.
I don't think they are setting the sales records on fire either.
They must be not cheap. Let's not tell prices.
No, they're very expensive.
Yeah. All right, this is from Noel in the Savoy. Do you know what would cause a 1944 Ford 2N farm tractor to sputter and backfire when you go quickly to full throttle? It starts right up and idles fine. Some people have told me it might be the centrifugal weights at the base of the front mount distributor.
Well, it sounds like he's pulling the throttle on fast, and that's when it does its coughing and spitting. So that tractor is so old that the carburetor does not have an accelerator pump in it, which sprays extra gas to compensate for that quick opening of the throttle.
Yeah.
What's happening is there's a lot of air going in there rapidly, and the carburetor can't keep up with it. So what I think is probably the case is A, basic ignition timing is of concern. That quick snap is probably the carburetor has some dirt in the passages or debris, and it's probably a little bit too lean. It probably needs a carburetor cleaning or overhaul or adjusting. Hmm. That's what I'm thinking.
All right, one more email, then we hit a break, and then we go to the phones. Gordon Fricke is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. Mike in Rexford writes, at your suggestion, Gordon, I bought a jar of lanolin-based product to help preserve my fenders from rust. Ran into a problem, though. Every time I apply it, my dogs come by and lick it off. Doesn't stay on the car for more than a few minutes. What do I do?
Oh, boy. You know, I never thought about that because
Is stuff, that good for a dog?
I don't know. It is a lanolin-based product, and that's from sheep's wool.
Right.
So it comes from animals, and it does have a kind of a weird odor. When we use it.
How's it taste?
I've never licked it. Ah. I don't know what it tastes like, but when we use it, the smell is very distinct, and I know right away that somebody sprayed some of this, not to use their name.
Lanolin-based stuff. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't know how to keep the dogs away, except, you know, I just don't know.
I don't know either. We give it a bad taste. Spray some of that dog the dog repellent on it? I don't know.
Okay, there you go. Before break, that reminds me of something else I saw on TV. You know, the headlights on the older cars. I fancy the older cars. They get cloudy, and I see these commercials.
Yeah.
Ah, blah, blah. Just spray it, wipe it on, and it cleans your headlights. And, you know, I'd love to do that, but do they work?
Yeah, some are way better than others. The real process is, so the body shop started doing it years ago, where you actually buff those plastic lenses down. You start with a super mild sandpaper, and then you work it to ultra fine, like 1,500, and you're basically then buffing them like buffing paint. For the car owner, homeowner, that's too much. You need equipment and expertise and all that. So they make those kits. So you do clean the film off of it, the oxidation, and then you polish them up by hand. And then the goo that you put on over them.
The ceramic stuff.
It flattens them out and fills them in. It's kind of like a really thick wax. And that will fade away after a while. But if you reapply the goo, they'll clear up again. So to answer your question, it does improve the lights.
I'm going to do this.
I would.
Let's take a break here. Gordon Fricke's our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. We go to the phones in a moment. Wait, tonight is the debate, 9 o'clock. Vice President Harris and former President Trump will be speaking together and answering questions. We'll be airing it live at 9 o'clock. And before that happens, 7 to 9, we'll have a live roundtable panel with a lot of discussion about what is to come in this debate. A really star-studded lineup tonight with Joe Donahue. And we hope you join us. You can do that 7 o'clock online, 7 o'clock here on your radio, 7 to 9. That's it. And the number here is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. Gordon Fricke's our guest today, and let's start out in Sandgate, Vermont. Chris, you're on.
Hi, guys. Thanks a lot. I've got a few things, but quickly. I replaced, not personally, but had to replace the windshield on a Subaru. And the new windshield driving at night has just become abysmal. You know, the headlights hit it and it glows and, you know, it illuminates the whole dang thing. So it's made night driving very difficult. That's like the main thing. Also, we got a Volkswagen ID.4 EV car and love it madly. And I've used throttle body cleaner on the headlight covers, and that's worked pretty well. Anyway, that's it. I'll shut up now.
Well, you don't have to shut up. I mean, you might want to follow up. All right, Gordon, what do you think?
So I guess the question was what's going on with the windshield, Chris? Is that what we're after?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so new windshield, and now you can't – what is it, too much glare, or what's happening with it?
Yeah, it just the headlights hit it, and it just illuminates the whole thing. And first I thought it was me driving at night, getting old, blah, blah, blah. But then my, thing one is 20-something, and he's saying, I know what you mean. And then my wife, who also had a Subaru, she had the Crosstrek, had to replace the windshield in that, too, and the same thing happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so...
I had cataract surgery, so I know.
Oh, you did that. Right? That was going to be my suggestion. Yeah. Get your cataracts replaced.
Yeah.
Well, the replacement windshields vary by quality depending on where they're sourced from. And the mass merchandise glass companies, the big guys, they buy windshields by the shipping container load. And they are from an overseas supplier. And it's thinking it's probably the Pacific Ocean. And the quality of the windshields can be bad. And I spoke to a glass installer some years ago, and he said these windshields are the big companies are paying like $5 a windshield for these things.
Wow!
And
holy Moses!
Yeah. So I guess what I'm alluding to is, whoever, if your insurance company, if you had a glass company come and do it in your driveway, I would question the quality of that glass. And I would talk to your insurance company and indicate to them what you've said to us here on the radio, and you would like a windshield from a better supplier, and I would ask for an OE windshield made by Subaru. Now, they may not be able to do that. They're going to say they have the right to use LKQ, which is like, kind, and quality glass, but... It's. I think what it's boiling down to is the quality of the glass that you're encountering.
Yeah, this is what this is your verifying kind of the hunch I've had, but I'm such a dumb bunny. It took me so long to figure it out.
Well, every now and then we'll get a very late model, a high-end car in, and when we were, if it needed glass work, a lot of times we'd bring a glass company in, and I would... if the car was new and we had the clout with the insurance company, I would demand a factory windshield. And a lot of times, insurance companies did not like that.
I bet.
Because they're going to pay the glass guy like $180 to do your car, but if you do it with a factory glass, now the price doubles.
Yeah.
And insurance companies tend not to like to pay.
Really? You're kidding me.
So that's what I'm thinking there.
All right, Chris. Thanks a lot. Good luck. 800-348-2551 is the number. Gordon Fricke's our guest. It's Automotive Maintenance and Repair today on the program. Let's go to Poughkeepsie. Julie, you're on.
For Julie, did you say?
That's correct, Julie. You've won the lottery. You're on.
Yay! Hi! Ray, I love you. I love listening to you. You make me laugh every day.
Thank you.
So anyway, I got a 2014 Honda Civic with 148,000 miles on it. I love it. It's a standard transmission, which I love. I've always driven a standard. My question, it's starting to need some major repairs. And so what's your opinion, Gordon, about do I do the repairs, spend the $3,000 on some needed repairs in the next 5 months, or should I start looking for a new car?
Yeah, good question. If you like a manual transmission and you're going to buy a new one, your choices are very limited. Honda still sells them. It's going to be a CRV SI or whatever their very sporty model is called. I guess it depends on what repairs are needed and if the car is not getting rusty, because the rust is the killer in the Northeast on aging vehicles.
Yeah.
You can't get ahead of it. You can't stop it. You can't go fix it. It's just going to just keep eating the car up.
Yeah.
So I'd be concerned about that.
I don't think I have any rust.
No rust.
Well, what I, What I always do is if you're at the point of saying, wow, do I keep this car? Yeah, get it checked out by your local mechanic and say, hey, I just want to get an idea what the car's looking like, particularly underneath it, chassis rust, lines, you know, all that stuff. Because there can be stuff under there that's unknown until you get on a lift and look carefully. Other than that, yeah. I guess you have to weigh this. Can you replace the car reasonably for the $3,000 and keep driving this? And the answer is, of course, no. But, you know, is the car worth the $3,000? Let your mechanic give you some, at least, guidance. Nobody can predict the future, but...
It's $3,000 now and then $3,000 in a year or two.
Yeah, you don't know that, but Civics then last a long time. So you're not spending money on a bad car, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you to dump it at the moment.
If I were to consider a new car, what's your opinion on a good car?
Well, my opinion may not be what other people want to drive because there's too many choices out there. You know, have to weigh economy, practicality, looks, brand, fuel economy. There's a million things. But
what about Jaguar XJS? That would be a nice car for you.
There you go.
Get one with a V8.
Yeah, exactly. Do they have those? I thought it was V12.
You go back a few years, yeah.
Yeah, that's one I drove. Boy, I'll tell you, that was fun. Hey, Julie, thanks for the call. Good luck. I hope you make the right choice. 800-348-2551. It's a shame there aren't more manual transmissions out there.
Very, very few now. And they're only in the sportiest models or the performance models. And then on the other hand, when you get into really high-performance cars like Corvettes, can't get a manual in a Corvette. A lot of the hyper cars are paddle shift automatics. Yeah. It's disappearing.
Which is fakery. I have that similar. I have mine is on the Caddy is kind of it's a stick shift. It's in the middle and you pretend.
I pretend
I'm shifting.
Yeah. You can speed it up and down and you think you're in control of the transmission.
It's fun.
It's better than nothing. But, you know, I've got cars with the Tiptronic is what Porsche called it back in the early days. And I don't know. It's
you know, one of my coworkers here, she nabbed a car, a new one, with a stick shift.
I think she called me.
And I think she had to go to Ohio or something to get it.
I think the choice was boiling down to a Civic Si.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
There you go. Well, she's pretty happy about it. The number here is 800-348-2551. Gordon Fricke's our guest today. It's automotive maintenance and repair. Let's go to Stone Ridge. Emily, you're on. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Cool. You almost blew my head off there. Go
ahead.
Sorry
about that.
That's all right.
I have a 2017 Subaru Impreza, and I bought it brand new, took great care of it, but at about 40,000 miles, large plumes of smoke began intermittently coming from the exhaust.
Oh, boy.
After multiple trips to the dealer, they replaced the small block. They did engine cleans, and that didn't work. So in order to rectify the problem, that's what ended up happening. It was right under warranty, so I figured it was just bad luck. It went about my business. Now at 90,000, it's happening again. So I was told by the same dealer that it needs spark plugs and an engine clean. I questioned this because of what happened prior. He said initially it was a compression issue, but they tested the compression. It's not what is causing the smoke. Now, the dealer insists that this happens, and it's not that big of a deal. To me, it's a huge deal. It's an incredible amount of smoke. It, like I said, it's intermittent, but it's very noxious, and it is a big deal to me. So my question is, do you agree, and is there anything I can do in the future to avoid carbon buildup if I do go for this engine clean that he recommends?
Yeah. Is it consuming oil? Are you putting oil in it what you think is too often?
No.
Okay. Your previous engine, that was using a ton of oil or not?
Not so much.
Okay. Because Subaru, among other car makers, did have their fair share and still do of oil consumption, using what is considered to be more oil than it should in a predetermined mileage. So your carbon cleaning and, that is a very common maintenance in today's automotive world. And your car is a 13
17.
Okay. I'm not sure if that was a direct injected engine by then, but the direct injected engines are definitely having lots of carbon problems. They create soot. So anyway, to back up the story, I think the spark plugs and the carbon cleaning at this stage is probably a good idea. If you're consuming tons of oil, no, it's not going to make any difference.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like yours is in the oil consumption category. It probably is a buildup. And the only thing you can do, the only thing you can do as the owner of the car is use top tier gasoline. And use an additive in your tank at least every oil change that will keep the carbon at bay.
So there's one of these fuel system cleaners, like Tecron or one of those.
Yes, exactly.
Great.
Yep.
All right. I appreciate that. I will do that. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Now, could that be not smoke but a head gasket issue?
Well, it could, but the head gaskets, Subaru's kind of solved that problem, but when they had a head gasket show, it was white smoke.
And yeah.
I think we've got black smoke, if I remember correctly.
Kind of a papal thing, either black or white smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
Depending on who the Pope is. All right, number here is 800-348-2551. Before we get off of this topic of fuel system cleaners.
Yeah.
How much is too much? How often is too often?
So if you look on the bottle of most name brand, the good, powerful stuff, I think you don't want to go more than three doses in between oil changes.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So it's about every 1,000 miles or so.
What I do with my own vehicles is I put a bottle in every time I change the oil because it's a perfect time to think about pouring it in there. And then sometimes I'll put one in between.
Ah, okay.
So, and that you're doing your part to keep the injectors and the piston tops and the valves as clean as they can
be. It really does seem to add a little oomph to the old car when you do that.
It's good stuff. It really is. It works.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Automotive maintenance and repair today with Gordon Fricke. And now to Millbrook. It's Margaret. Hello, Margaret.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Sure, go ahead.
So I have a 2022 Forester, Subaru Forester. I recently took it in for the 30,000-mile service. The car was running perfectly prior to that. As I was driving out from the service, I thought I noticed a sound. You know, I thought, but I just really wasn't sure. Maybe I was imagining it. And I didn't pay a lot of attention to it. So anyway, gradually the sound started getting worse. Until about a month later, it was loud, and it was mostly in slow traffic. But anyway, long story short, I took the car back in to the dealer, and they called me and told me that I need a totally new transmission.
Nice.
And
I don't know
if I should be suspicious or just take it, you know, as they said that these vehicles are mass produced and this can happen. So that is my question.
How many miles are on the vehicle, roughly?
Right now, 31,000.
That should be under warranty.
And it's a 22 Forester, I'm looking at the right one here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I believe that Forester by 2022 had the CVT transmission. Is that anything you remember the dealer talking to you about, the type of transmission that's in
no.
the car? Subaru had
I don't know.
Okay. Subaru had their fair share of automatic transmission problems with their CVTs. So initial CVT, constant variable transmission. If your mileage is that low, I think I would contact the dealer and ask them if there is coverage available still, even though it's a 22 car.
It's 2 years ago.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Well, they're saying this is at your expense?
No, they're not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Ray and I were freaking out.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's a terrible warranty.
Oh, okay.
No, it's covered by the warranty. I think my issue, I guess, is I don't know. I'm still concerned about if something happened, you know, during the 30,000-mile service.
I'm sorry. We just automatically were on the track of they're telling you you need a transmission, tough luck.
No.
So there's not a fluid maintenance for that transmission by Subaru, and it would never be that low of mileage. So to answer your question, their maintenance did not affect that transmission.
So what would you do, Gordon?
Okay.
Just replace the
absolutely.
The tranny and
yeah, obviously
go.
You have no choice. Let them do it. It's under warranty.
Yep.
You're going to get a new transmission. That's
okay.
That's pretty low mileage because, you know, a lot of these early ones, even the ones that were trouble, made it, you know, 80, 90, some of them made it to 100,000 miles. But,
okay.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I would just get it done. Yeah.
All right. We got to take a break here, Margaret. Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. That's the number if you want to talk to Gordon Fricke. And who doesn't? We'll check the email bag in a moment. John Lennon, Beef Jerky is the name of that one. It's Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Gordon Fricke's our guest today. Cars, trucks, whatever. If it has an engine, he'll give it a shot. Let's do a couple of emails here, and then we'll go back to the phones. This is from Peter. Specifically, part of it is in the subject heading, which I rarely read. Subject heading, heat shields. Then, specifically, 2015 Subaru Forester have had a couple of clanging noises at different times, and they removed heat shields. Are there a bunch of different heat shields, or is the vehicle on this vehicle, and are they necessary or dangerous to remove? Generally, are heat shields an issue on other cars? And that's from Peter.
Yeah. Lots of heat shields on a Subaru. The catalytic converter is up front. The engine is a flat horizontal engine. So there's two cylinder banks. So you've got a kind of an elaborate exhaust system with the catalytic converter up front, bunch of heat shields around it because the converters are hot. And then it turns into a single pipe going to the right side of the car with more heat shields. And there's even some under the car, under top of the exhaust in the rear. So big, they're very prone to rattles in the exhaust. And at first, you can usually fix the nuts and bolts that corrode or the factory rivets. Then we end up putting stainless steel hose clamps on them. You don't want to really eliminate too many of them if you can help it because they do protect other components from the heat. The ones on the bottom of the converters, which this car doesn't really have, fall off in the road. You see them all the time, and you know the owner never knows it. So I'm careful in removing them. Because of just that subject. But,
all right.
Yeah.
This is from Christian in Medusa. I have in my possession a 2004 Dodge Ram 1500 5.7. The other day, I attempted to put it into all-wheel drive, and it slipped. I went below and found that it looks like a pin system. Are there temporary fixes for this? I can't seem to find a legitimate replacement anywhere.
I'm not sure what pins he's referring to.
Dodge Ram 1500 5.7 wouldn't go into, it slipped when it went into all-wheel drive.
So they had a couple of versions depending on the level of that truck. The base models had a shift lever where you shifted it in and out of four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
And when you went a little more upscale, it ended up being a push button or a dial. So that a computer made the engagement rather than you manually. But I don't know what he's talking about pins.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Maybe he'll follow up here.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. This is from Norma. Since January, once every 2 to 3 weeks, my 2016 Mazda 3 does not start. Totally dead. No sound, nothing. In a day or two, it'll start. The dealership hasn't been able to find the problem. What could it be?
Well, the question to her, which I can't ask, is if it's dead battery and you have to boost it, or it just turned the key and it's silence. If it's turn the key silence, but you have electrical power, your windows work, your headlights work, everything powers up, she's probably having more than likely either starter, intermittent starter failing, or connections to the starter.
They still have solenoids on those?
Yeah. Still engages that drive unit and gets the starter spinning. And the little wire that goes to the solenoid can get a little corrosion on it, and it won't make the signal to engage the starter. And when you turn the key, it's totally silent. So that's the first thing to check.
A body control module or something?
Maybe, but I would go right to the source because the starter's outside on the engine in a bad environment. So it could be a corrosion issue.
All right, fair enough. Let's see. One more email and then back to the phones. This is from Darren. 2017 Silverado 5.3 was driving and was low on fuel. Truck hiccuped and check engine light came on. Then the truck ran okay, but I heard a ticking from the engine. Checked the engine codes and a misfire came up, a knock sensor. Now misfire code does not come up anymore, just the knock sensor. Engine tick increases as speed increases. Possible collapsed lifter? Any thoughts?
Yeah, it is a possible collapsed lifter because the misfire and the ticking are together, and it could be a lifter issue. And the lifter is making a rapping sound telling the knock sensor there's too much noise. So very possible that it's a lifter issue on that truck.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, finally here. David writes in, stick shifts are phenomenally fun to drive. Great to own as long as you're the only driver. And I totally get that. You know, you can lend the car out, or if you got family members and they're just, they handle the clutch differently.
I've had people ask me years ago, how long should the clutch last in my car? And I said it could last the life of the car or one weekend.
One weekend would be a little exaggeration, yeah?
The wrong person could burn that clutch out in a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Just that level of incompetence.
Yes. Slipping it, dumping it, you know, trying to burn out like crazy. Yeah, you could wipe a clutch out pretty fast.
You know, they're so much fun, and they're so handy. If your car isn't starting, just go down a hill, you throw it in gear, and bam, you're good to go.
I've told you about the T-shirt that somebody showed me years ago.
No.
It was a picture of a shifting pattern, you know, and the old school is a 4-speed. 1, 2, 3, 4 in reverse.
Yep.
And it was was your Le Mans a stick?
Oh, no. No. It was an automatic.
But you remember,
but I've had plenty of sticks.
But you remember the sticks with that shift pattern.
Yep.
And the T-shirt said Millennial Anti-Theft Device.
Exactly.
Isn't that hilarious?
Let's go to K-Row. It's Cheryl's turn. Cheryl, you're on.
Hi. You can hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, good. So I'm looking for a little bit of advice in dealing with the dealer's repair team. I had taken the car in with there was an engine thing. They ended up replacing the pistons in the engine. Okay. And then when I got it back, drove a little bit, the engine, or like there's oil that's sort of spraying out the back of the car. And that was discovered because someone else was looking at something underneath. And so I took it there. It took them a very long time to figure out where the oil was coming from. But finally they said it was fine. But then I got it back, drove a little bit more, and now it's happened again. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just like, and that was not the issue that I took it in for. So I'm kind of like, the car was fine when I took it in there in this regard.
Yep.
And I'm just sort of like, geez, you know, what to do?
Yeah. So is that a 1.4 liter engine? Do you know? What's the engine size in that car? Do you know?
I think so. I'm not really sure. It's the LT or 1LT.
Yeah. It could be the cruises of that vintage. It could have been a turbocharged engine. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. So if the dealership replaced pistons, they took a tremendous stuff, took a lot of stuff off the engine to get the pistons out. Cylinder head comes off, manifolds, the turbocharger. There's a lot of lines, there's fittings, there's connections. So a lot of things got disturbed, removed, and reconnected. That's just part of the game, unfortunately. You have to tear through 1,000 things to get to one nowadays. So my theory here is that they probably got involved with, if it's a turbocharged engine, maybe an oil line to the turbo, or and you said it's oil, not coolant, that's spraying around.
Right. It's like the whole back of my car is like filthy with oil.
Okay.
Rats.
Yeah.
Residue.
And, well, did they tell you what the remedy was when you brought it back? Did they say, hey, yes, we put a new oil pipe on it, or we put new seals or gaskets in it? Did they tell you what the remedy was?
they were kind of
vague,
like yeah, they were. And I said, well, can you just like itemize that for me on the bill when I get it back? But I honestly don't know what it was.
Yeah,
know
okay.
What it was.
Well,
but it was like a mystery. They were like, we think we know. And then they said, we drove it a really long, you know, a bunch of times. And like, they were looking for, I think they were looking for like things in the road. I don't know. It felt to me like they really didn't know how to figure this out, which is kind of like, why don't they know how to figure this out?
Right. Well, it would be nice to know what the language was on the report or what the fix was when the oil sprayed around. And now you say it's doing it again.
Yeah.
Have you been back there yet?
And
are
I
you afraid
it.
To?
No, I did take it back because I feel like they're responsible.
Yeah.
But I just feel like now, like, what am I supposed to do with this car, you know, because I feel like it's just a piece of junk.
Well, so what I would do is refer back to the first repair. So you paid for this piston job, obviously. This was not cheap.
The hourly must
not.
Have been nuts.
Yeah. So, you know, have all your repair orders available in case you need to refer to them because, you know, the language is, it's car talk, you know, pistons, camshaft and pipes and coolers and turbos and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I would want to know specifically what the fix was when you brought it back and what the current cause is because the symptoms are the same. You can't always say it's the same thing, but the symptoms are the same.
Yeah.
And you want to know what is currently happening and what it's going to take to resolve that.
Okay.
Right.
Well, good luck.
Do you feel that they have any sort of responsibility? Like if they can't figure it out, you know what I mean? Like
no,
they
minute.
Obviously caused this issue. But, like, what, you know, if they're like, yeah, we just, like, let's say they fix it again, and then it happens again.
Hang on, this just in from our legal department here at WAMC. This is dangerous territory, yeah. Gordon, so
well,
be
no,
very noncommittal.
It's impossible for me to even make that determination
right.
Without seeing it. But cars are so complicated that it could be totally unrelated. But I think they owe it to you to go back in there since they've fixed it and now it's doing it again. And, you know, be as diplomatic as you can, but be firm and try to get to the bottom
right.
of what it is.
And bring your attorney. All right, let's go to Tim in Ballston Spa. Tim, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I have a question about my 2016 GMC 2500 HD pickup truck. I have a story similar to Gordon's, except I'm the one that got questioned at a stop sign yesterday. I was driving down the road, and the gentleman was behind me, and he pulled up alongside me, and he rolled the window down and wanted to talk to me. And I rolled my window down, and he told me that, hey, your truck's going down the road sideways.
Oh.
And I said, it is? And then, you know, this is not something that I can experience with driving the truck. I don't notice it. But he said that it looks like I'm driving down the road sideways, implying that the truck's out of alignment. So I thanked him, and he went on his way, and he told me, this is what I do for a living.
Yeah.
So here I am thinking, okay, what's wrong with my truck at this point? So my question is, is it possible that my frame is bent? He did say to me, do you tow a lot with the truck? And I tow a fifth-wheel trailer. I don't use the truck commercially, so I tow occasionally. So I'm wondering if my frame got bent somehow, if that's even possible. And then my second part of the question is, can I take this to my mechanic, and would he be able to identify this for me?
Well, let me ask you this. Have you noticed that all of a sudden your steering wheel is not centered anymore? Is the wheel crooked going down the wheel going down the road straight?
No, it's not crooked.
Okay, because oftentimes if the truck, they call it dog tracking. It's actually going down the road slightly sideways, and that can happen from a variety of reasons, accidents, bent frames, crooked axles. You got stuck last winter and somebody put a chain around your rear axle and ripped you out of the ditch and it tweaked the axle. But you almost always notice it by a crooked steering wheel because you have to compensate for that vehicle now slipping down the road. So if your steering wheel is not off center and you're dog tracking, you probably should go to an alignment shop because they will be able to determine where all the wheels are sitting, and they'll also be able to determine the thrust angle of the rear differential that makes the car go crooked or the truck go crooked. So I think I would start with an alignment shop that's good with full frame vehicles like yours, primarily a rear wheel drive truck. I know it's a four wheel drive, but it's primarily a rear wheel drive vehicle with a solid rear axle.
All right, Tim, thank you very much. How do you know if your rear differential is going bad?
You mean in his case or if you have...
In general.
Well, if the rear end is having trouble, your gear set will make noises or they'll leak or it'll chatter. But
chatter in what way?
It won't be smooth when you accelerate. It'll jump. You'll feel like you're skipping teeth.
So you'd know it.
Yeah, it would be terrible. Now, there's something crooked there. Something happened in that suspension. If that truck really is going down the road crooked, and what I should have suggested he do is have somebody follow him and confirm that it does not look like it's going straight down the lane anymore. Just confirm that report.
Maybe the guy who stopped him was a little bent.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. This is from Mark. You mentioned top-tier gasoline a few minutes ago. Is it safe to assume that all the major petroleum companies provide it? Or is it, can you stop into some of the retail outlets and not get it?
I would just search top-tier gasoline. And once you get on those websites, it's going to be very clear who's top tier and who isn't. It's going to be the big name brands, Shell, Mobil, Citgo, all the big players are top tier. It just means that they're putting in the correct or maximum amount of cleaners and additives in that gasoline. Mm. And it does in turn cost more than your unbranded, quote, cheap gas.
All right, let's go. We have time for maybe one or two more here. We'll go to Chester, and it's Jennifer's turn. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, how you doing? I know it's got to be quick.
Yep.
What exactly is that additive you were speaking about that you should put in every...
To be clear, there are many that are of this quality.
Right. What is the name?
Well, there was the chemical. I think this company Chevron started this stuff in the 80s, and they called it Tecron, and it's their trade name for the chemistry or the chemical. So you can buy it through Chevron or auto parts stores. There are other brands that are equally as good. You don't want the really, if it's too cheap and it has too many claims on the bottle, don't buy it. But it's usually in a larger dose, 12 or 20 ounces, and it wants to have the right chemicals in it to do its job.
All right, Jennifer, thanks a lot. We're out of time here. About 15 seconds. Oh, my gosh. Emily's had her oil changed, and they left the oil cap off. So when she got home, there was oil all over the engine. She cleaned up what she could. Do you think the rest will burn off? That's the question.
Yeah, well, get a new oil cap. And the problem with cleaning engines today is all the electrical stuff you want to be super careful of.
Yeah.
It won't really burn off. So it would be nice to get it cleaned off.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Gordon Fricke, we are done, sir. Thank you.
That's great.
Appreciate you being. It's great that we're done.
Well, no, we had a good show, but it's good we're done.
All right, well, there you are. Off you go. Support comes from Temple Sinai, Saratoga Springs, New York, an open congregation welcoming the Jewish community and visitors for Shabbat and holiday services, cultural services, and more. SaratogaSinai.org for details. UCP of Western Massachusetts, helping individuals with disabilities and now hiring assistive technology assistance, UCPWMA.org for more information. And Baba Louie's Pizza, Hudson, New York, natural wood-fired pizzas, salads, vegan soups, pasta dishes, house-made desserts, and gluten-free options Thursday through Monday, BabaLouie'sPizza.com. Thanks again to Gordon Fricke for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Ed Rosen screened the calls. Tomorrow, Eric Yeager will be back. He's a virologist from the Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. We'll talk about cold and flu season. That's tomorrow at 2. Don't forget, tonight, it is debate night. You'll hear it live here on WAMC at 9 p.m. 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. is a special roundtable panel with a bunch of really great experts to talk about it. Tune in for that. We'll see you tonight.